You are Locked On Braves, your daily Atlanta Braves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the Locked On Braves podcast. Now, if you guys tuned in on Monday, you know I already talked about Chris Bryant and what the Braves can do to kind of address the JD loss. I'm going to talk about another one of those players today, coming up in about 2 minutes. Before we go any farther, I do have to say thank you to the network, the Locked On Podcast Network, providing fans with their favorite teams every day, allowing them to keep abreast in short, breathy episodes where you don't ever feel like you're getting bogged down. It's nice. It's quick. It gets you what you need to know. And the Locked On Podcast Network has something for you no matter what your team is, whether it's the Braves, whether it's the Kansas City Chiefs, whoever it is across baseball, football, basketball, hockey, whatever it is, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered. Found where all of your favorite podcasts can be. Nice, easy. You can just find it in your car. If your car's got Bluetooth on it, you can say, hey, Alexa, play me Locked On Braves, and there it is. Locked On Podcast Network, making it easy to be a fan. Okay, so I did talk about Chris Bryant last week, and I did mention that I think that Chris Bryant is the most likely solution for the Atlanta Braves, as long as the Cubs don't decide to get super greedy at the very end. I know the Braves have already have started to reestablish talks with the Cubs in regards to Chris Bryant. But that's not the only option that the Braves have. There are a few more going around, and the one I want to talk about today, at least in this first segment, is going to be Nolan Arenado. Arenado is the name that's constantly thrown out as kind of the pipe dream. That's the guy that you want to get. Oh, man, if Arenado's available, you can get the best third baseman in baseball and put him on this team. That's a way that you can lose JD and still end up getting better than you were last year. There's a couple things to consider when you're talking about Arenado. While I do think Chris Bryant is feasible, I think the Braves could get Nolan Arenado if they really wanted to. I'm just not sure they're going to want to pay the price to get Arenado, because Arenado's contract situation is one of the, I don't want to say worst because he's one of the best players, but there's almost no value in that contract because he is an elite player and he is paid like an elite player. He's got a very long contract. There's an opt-out in 2 years for Nolan Arenado. After the 2021 season, he can opt out and go into free agency. But there are reports that if the team that gets him can take that option year, convert it into another year on the end of his deal, and that'll do away with the opt-out. That would just mean that you've got an 8-year contract, essentially, or 7 years, I think, left on. It would be 8 years. Yeah, that's right, 8 years. It'd be 8 years on the contract for Arenado, which would take him to the same age as Josh Donaldson now. So you'd have another 3 years on a player that more than likely isn't going to be reflective in making the $32 million that he's making. And while the National League will have the DH by the end of that deal, that's not exactly what the Braves are going to look for. There's going to be people that are going to say, if you're going to do that for Nolan Arenado, why wouldn't you just sign Josh Donaldson for less money per year? And Donaldson's not that much worse than Arenado. And if you're talking about, you're going to have a guy to that age anyway, better to pay a guy 23, 24 than to pay a guy 32. Or why wouldn't you have just been in on Anthony Rendon, who's going to be paid through the same year and paid the exact same money as Nolan Arenado? Well, a couple things to start that off. Number one, I don't think the Braves thought they were going to have to be in this situation. I think the Braves kind of got caught slipping a little bit. I don't think they thought anybody was going to offer Donaldson 4 years. I think they were of the belief that the most he was going to get was 3, and that the Braves could swoop in with a 2 and an optional 3rd and pay a little bit more per year and be able to keep Donaldson. Well, unfortunately, that didn't happen. And by the way, when people just throw out there they should have just got Rendon, that has to be a two-way street. We have no idea if Anthony Rendon actually wanted to come to Atlanta. Just because Atlanta drafted him out of high school doesn't mean that he wants to come play here. And if the Braves and the Angels offered him the exact same amount of money, I mean, he's from that area. He's from out in Texas. There's no way of knowing if he actually would have wanted to. So say that of what you will, but when you get back to Nolan Arenado, that opt-out is going to be the big crusher. That, and Nolan does have a no-trade clause, so Nolan would have to approve any team that he goes to. Now, I don't see why he wouldn't approve of the Braves. I don't see why he wouldn't approve of any playoff team, because I think that's probably the biggest thing for him is wanting to go to a playoff contender. But you're talking about a guy that you're going to have to give up. There's a couple ways. So say you want to leave the opt-out in. Say you want to go ahead and say you want to get Nolan Arenado for the long haul because you don't want to give up a ton of great prospects for a short term. So you want to just say, all right, give him to me on the 8 years of the contract. That's going to cost you a lot. That's going to cost you Christian Pache or Drew Waters. Plus, it's going to cost you a Kyle Wright and somebody along those lines. If I'm Alex Anthopoulos, though, I'm not so certain that I want to take away the opt-out for a simple reason. Number one, he's going to be making $32.5 million after the opt-out. Like, from the opt-out year onward, it's going to be like $32 to $35 million at some points in that deal. He's not going to do much better than that on the open market. He's going to be 30 or just over 30. It's not like he's going to go out there and get much more. I mean, at best, he could do an Anthony Rendon contract, maybe, and that would jump him to that. He'd be making the same AAV at that point. So I'm not certain why. I don't think he actually would exercise the opt-out. I think he'd just opt in. And if I leave that opt-out in there, then I'm trading for 2 years of Arenado. Because if there is an opt-out, when you're trading with the team, you trade for the years of control that you are guaranteed to have. And at that point, you're only guaranteed 2 years, which should take the cost down. It's going to be more expensive than Chris Bryant, just because Nolan Arenado is a better player than Chris Bryant. As much as I love Chris Bryant, Nolan Arenado is, at this point in time, the best third baseman in Major League Baseball. Maybe Matt Chapman will have something to say about it in the 2020 season, maybe the 2021 season, but for now, it's Nolan Arenado. He's better than Anthony Rendon. He's better than everybody else. So it's going to cost. I don't necessarily think it would cost you Pache, Waters, or even Ian Anderson, though, to get him. If you're talking about having a trade for 2 years, that substantially lowers the prospect cost. And while I think the Braves, if I were Alex, I would take that risk. I would trade for him with the opt-out in place, and I would take the gamble that he's not going to opt out and go for the same deal on another squad, because if you get close to a World Series, or God forbid you win a World Series, it's kind of hard to walk away from that. And I think Arenado is that type of guy. I think Arenado would be an amazing fit here. You bat him right behind Freddie. He's going to play amazing defense. He checks every box that the Braves want to check. The other thing that people talk about with Nolan Arenado is he a product of Coors Field? And if you go through his fan graphs, you'll notice his OPS is a lot lower away from Coors Field than it is at home. I'm not going to get fully into the details on this episode because I don't have enough time in this segment to really outline it. What I'll tell you is Mike Petriello of MLB.com, he did an article on this last year or the year before discussing it. And one of the things you'll notice is the pitch selection of pitchers in Coors Field. Essentially, just taking this down to the very bare bones, in Colorado, because you're so high up, there's not as much friction. The air is thinner, so you don't get the same amount of friction on the ball. So pitchers do not throw as many curveballs because you don't have the friction to make the ball drop. So you get a lot more fastballs. You get a lot less curveballs. You're essentially going fastball slider. So when they go away from Coors, they're starting to see a lot more curveballs that they're not facing. And anytime you're not facing a pitch for a long time, you're not going to be as good at it. Nolan Arenado is one of these guys that he's an elite talent. He's one of these guys. I have no issues with him out away from Coors. I think that after a simple adjustment period of getting used to seeing curves again, he'd be right as rain. And it's not like his OPS is bad away from Coors Field. It's in the 800s, in the upper 800s, mid to upper 800s. It's perfectly fine. I don't have that worry with Arenado. The thing with Arenado is always going to be, do you want to pay that much, and are you willing to give up the capital it's going to take? I don't know. Alex has been very reticent to give up top prospects. I kind of think that trading away Noah Syndergaard and Travis d'Arnaud for R.A. Dickey might have irreparably damaged him a little bit in that capacity. I don't know. We'll see, because we're getting up on this and we come into the second segment. I've got some more names here that's going to require somebody big like that. So to answer your question, is it feasible for Arenado? I don't know that it's feasible. Is it? You know, I'm going to change it. It is feasible. Is it likely? No. The other question, how imperative are they? That I'm not so certain about. And we'll discuss that a little bit deeper coming up after the break here. But we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some other areas that they could potentially address their biggest needs with. Coming up next right here on Locked On Braves. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. As I mentioned before the break, there are still some ways to finagle this Braves situation. It doesn't necessarily have to be a third baseman. More imperative than the third baseman is the cleanup hitter. And there are a number of ways the Braves could go about filling this. It doesn't necessarily have to be a third baseman. If the Braves feel confident in Austin Riley, or if they feel confident in what they saw from Johan Camargo in the short sample coming back from AAA. Because, by the way, look at his AAA numbers and look at him immediately coming back. His numbers were outstanding. And I know for a fact that Alex does believe in Johan Camargo. They do believe that he was able to really adjust and fix some things in his swing when he was back down there in AAA. So, and I know they Austin Riley's just coming off being like a top 25 prospect in Major League Baseball. He's got a ton of power. The problem has been contact right now, and it's been the strikeouts, and he was so abysmal. I don't think the Braves want to go into the season relying on Riley, but would they rather have an Austin Riley, Johan Camargo platoon with a superstar in left field or somebody to bat cleanup in left field, or would they rather roll with Markakis and Duvall and go with another third baseman? Well, if you're looking at the third baseman market, there's just not a lot of names out there. So you're going to end up paying a premium just because there's less supply. Demand is higher because there's less supply. When you switch that to the outfield, while there's still not a ton of high-profile names who are readily available, there are a few guys that stick out. The two that are free agents that you're not going to have to give up any prospects for, obviously, Marcell Ozuna and Nick Castellanos. I used to think that Ozuna was the better bet. I kind of am going back and forth on it now, because there is the draft pick attached to Marcell Ozuna. Now, with Josh Donaldson signing with the Twins, the Braves do get a comp round pick back from the Twins, which is essentially, it's like four spots lower than the pick that they gave up to sign Will Smith. So I don't know, and this is expected to be a very stacked baseball draft, and the Braves still have to deal with some international sanctions for this year, but they're going away. They'll be away in time for the Braves to sign Ronald Acuna's younger brother, Brian Acuna. I do wonder if the draft pick might be a bigger incentive to go with Nick Castellanos over Marcell Ozuna. Neither of the players are great defensively. Ozuna is much better than Castellanos, even with the damaged shoulder. Now, with Ozuna, you see a lot of the boneheaded plays. You see him climbing the fence for one that dropped like 10 feet in front of him. I understand that. But when you talk about defense overall, one play is never indicative of a player's defensive acumen. And in 2017, when he was with the Marlins, Ozuna was a very, very good defender, had a really strong arm, and had an accurate arm. Now, he's had shoulder surgery, so the arm is not what it once was, but he's another year removed from it now, and he should start to get back a little bit closer to normal. And if you look at Ozuna's batted ball profile, if you go to his Statcast, you go to baseballsavant.com, you put in Marcell Ozuna, and you just look at his contact rates, he hits the ball as hard as anybody. His expected stats are through the roof. I mean, he hits the ball extremely, extremely hard. The only thing he's not good is he's not a good defender at all, doesn't get great jumps. But if he's in left field, I don't really care about defense that much. I'd put up with Jorge Soler's atrocious defense just to have that guy in my lineup, because at some point, you do have to sacrifice for offense. Offense is what wins you championships. Defense does not win you championships anymore. Those days are long gone. So, and I believe the lineup is more imperative right now to fix than the rest of the field, because you've got Ender Inciarte in center, you've got Ronald Acuna in right field. I expect both of those two to be, I actually expect Acuna to win the Gold Glove for right fielders, like walking away. And Ender, as long as he stays healthy throughout the rest of the season and he doesn't hit that cliff, he'll be in contention to win a Gold Glove as well. It's a very hard thing for a lot of Braves fans to stomach. And it's probably hard for Alex Anthopoulos, because Alex's main thing has been good defense and good offense without being great offense. You talk about he's tried to make sure that his pitchers who give up a lot of contact generally have good fielders behind them. But for the Braves pitching staff, when I'm talking about giving up contact, most of these guys are ground ball pitchers. Your outfield defense isn't necessarily as important as your infield defense, which is why it very well could be either one of these guys. I happen to think it'll be Castellanos before it would be Ozuna. Castellanos is a little bit younger. Castellanos is a little bit more athletic, and he did show some progress with his defense when he was a member of the Cubs. And when he was in Detroit, that is such a cavernous ballpark that he already wasn't a good fielder anyway. It probably just exacerbated it. Maybe you think that at 27 or 28, you can kind of unlock something and make him at least a not Matt Kemp level fielder. by either way, they're gonna have to address something with the bat. The problem with Castellanos batting wise is, and a lot of people are gonna get angry that I'm talking about batting order. And I'm not usually a proponent of where you put people in the order matters, unless they happen to be a superstar player and they want to hit in a certain spot. But when you look at Castellanos, he does perform much better in the two hole than the four hole. That doesn't mean that that's the way it would always remain, because Josh Donaldson last year was the first time he's really ever had to bat cleanup, and it's not something he was used to, and it's not something he traditionally likes. But you know how it goes. You got to do something somewhere, and Castellanos, beggar can't be chooser. He's looking for a team. The market on him hasn't been what he thought it would be, so I'm not quite sure. There's a couple under the radar guys. Guys like Mark Canna, somebody that I've been floating around from the Athletics. He's a guy that would really fit what Alex Anthopoulos really wants to do. He's not necessarily a guy that I would want to bat cleanup. He's a guy that I would think would profile more as a fifth hitter, but he's a guy with a lot of power, plays really good defense. He's used to playing center field, but he played really good defense in the outfield, and he's only got 1 year left on his contract, and it's with Oakland. So Oakland, a 90-win team a season ago, you don't think they're really going to sell. They're not going to give you Matt Chapman because he's not making any money. But if there's one thing Oakland does, it's capitalize on all of their pieces. So I don't know if Canna would be more of a trade deadline acquisition as opposed to a right now. But I do think there's a very real chance that the Braves could end up with a Mark Canna. It wouldn't cost a ton because there is no control beyond this season, and he doesn't have much of a track record. But it looked like last year he really figured some things out, and I'd love to have Mark Canna on my team. Starling Marte is another name that's thrown around a lot. He's not really an under the radar, but he's not the same level of player as like Chris Bryant or Arenado or another player that we're going to talk about here in a little bit. Marte is a guy that if you put him in a corner, I'm happy. He's not a great defensive center fielder at all, but you put him in a corner and you let him bat second and watch him rake. Or you can bat him fourth too. He's got really good. He's not your traditional super power hitter batting fourth, and SunTrust Park is a lot harder for pull heavy power. But Starling Marte would be a great fit on this team as well. He's fast enough to steal bases. He gets on base a good bit. He's got pop. He plays good corner defense. He would fit very well. He's not making a lot of money. I believe he's making like $11 million. Not a lot of money. Starling Marte would be another good acquisition. But the way that I'm starting to look at it now is I do want them to get another fielder. But I'm almost looking towards the biggest move that I think the Braves could make. I think they could get Bryant because that'd be through trade. But Mike Clevinger is a name that I keep coming back to. And the Indians, it's hard to tell what they're going to do. I don't think the Indians know what they're going to do yet, because they did trade off Corey Kluber, and they traded him off for nothing. It was one of the worst deals I've seen. They've been talking about dealing Francisco Lindor, who I don't think they'll be able to make themselves trade until at least the deadline. But you look at Mike Clevinger, the Indians are in a weird spot in their division. They're not as good as the Twins. The White Sox have put the full court press on. They've got a lot of great players coming up. Now that a lot of their young guys are starting to make it to the majors, Yoan Moncada has finally broken out. Eloy Jimenez was really good, especially towards the end of the season. They got Luis Robert coming up this year. They signed Dallas Keuchel. The White Sox have a lot going on, and there's a real possibility with the breakout of Lucas Giolito, Reynaldo Lopez being another year older, that they could surpass the Indians. And if that happens, the Indians do not have a stellar farm system for position players, really for even some pitchers. They do have Tristan McKenzie, who's a very high upside arm. But as far as starters and far as position, really position, they've just got Nolan Jones, and that's really about it. There's not a lot there. I think if they wanted to do a retool, because they don't ever rebuild, they could deal Clevinger, and that would deal them a large packet of prospects. And I want Mike Clevinger because he is something that the Braves have not had in a long time, and that is a true number one. I won't call him an ace because he hasn't done it for multiple seasons, but what Mike Clevinger did a season ago was absolutely fantastic. And Clevinger's a guy that's not paid a lot, and he's under control still for, I think, two or three more years of arbitration before you have to worry about breaking him off. This is the type of guy that you have to shell out high-end prospects, and I mean high-end. You're talking about giving up Christian Pache, which I would do for Clevinger if I can get George Valera as well. There's a package that I came up with using the MLB Trade Simulator. You guys can let me know what you think about this deal. I happen to like this deal. I'm not certain whether or not you guys are going to be fans of it or not, but there is a deal that I came up with that I think is very good. I think you could go with, here's what I have outlined. Give me one second to pull this up. Here it is. Here's the deal that I really came up with. And this would be the Braves getting Mike Clevinger, Jordan Luplow, and George Valera for William Contreras, Christian Pache, and Kyle Wright or Bryce Wilson. If you go by MLB Trade Simulator, the one with Contreras, Pache, and Wilson is almost an exact match for Clevinger, Luplow, and Valera. If you add in Wright, it's a little bit of an overpay for the Braves' perspective, but I don't think it would be considered an overpay in real life because that website does value contract more than it does anything else. Luplow is a guy that would be a perfect fit as the right-handed bat in a platoon. Say you wanted to platoon him with Nick Markakis. Jordan Luplow absolutely rakes against lefties. He is absolutely atrocious against righties. So Nick Markakis can still hit righties. You put Luplow in there with him. That's a very good combination. You could even have him split some time with Markakis. You could have him in the lineup instead of Ender sometimes if you want, and kind of mix and match however you'd like to go depending on who's hot and who's not. But Valera is kind of the key piece in that deal because if I'm giving up Pache, I have to get another outfielder in return because Drew Waters can play center field. If Pache is dealt, it won't be Ronald Acuna playing center. It'll be Drew Waters. But that would leave another corner open. And George Valera is a guy that I have all the faith in the world in. You may not have heard of him yet. If you guys are aware of Prospects Live, Ralph Lipschitz and the crew over there at Prospects Live, just ask him about George Valera. He's got one of the sweetest swings in all the minor leagues. That is the guy that I would give Pache for Clevinger, but I got to get Valera back. That's something that I think I would look into something like that, that sort of possibility. I'm not so certain how far the Braves would go, but I think for me, out of the deals that I've outlined so far, I think the Clevinger deal is the way that I would go to address the team. Now, you still want to go out there and get another bat, but I think you could do that. I think you could mix and match at that point. You've got a really, really good rotation with Clevinger, Soroka, Hamels, or Clevinger, Soroka, Fried, Hamels, and Folty. That's a very, very good top five. I think that can compete with just about everybody. Your lineup, if you can get another bat in there, or if you can get Austin Riley to take a step forward this year and kind of realize some of the potential that he had. I think with Camargo coming back as well, I think that would be probably the best use of your time for the team. That would be what I would go for. But you guys can let me know what you would rather do. You guys can let me know on Twitter at DylanXShort. You can go with the Locked On Braves page. It's twitter.com/LockedOn_Braves. You can find it there. You can let me know what you think there. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. When we come back on Friday's episode, I'm going to break away from the Braves. I'm going to discuss this Houston Astros scenario and how, as Braves fans, you might feel or how maybe you should feel or maybe some key differences. I don't know, but we're going to talk about the sign-stealing scandal on Friday. But for those of you that have finished listening on Wednesday, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I'll catch you on Friday here on Locked On Braves.